You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
As you've heard me say so many times on this show, it's always nice to have a friend in the studio. That's the case today with Janice Russell. She is here from Stone Ridge. It's been a little while since we've seen you, Janet. You got some really good news coming up, especially for people planning weddings. Is that correct?
I do. You know, it might be President's Day today, but we just had Valentine's Day, and we just had New Year's Eve, and we just had Christmas, so engagement season is in full swing. So now's the time where people are getting engaged, people are planning their weddings for this year, for next year, and beyond. So we have started a new event over at Stone Ridge, the Stone Ridge Wedding Happy Hour.
Describe what that's all about.
So we are doing a happy hour every third Tuesday of the month from 5:30 to 7:30, and we at the Prescott Club provide some nice past hors d'oeuvres. We pass around some champagne, some wine, a beer if you don't drink those things, or a soda or some water, whatever you like. And then I've got Lisa Martin with Martin Cakes on board as a co-sponsor, so she provides a cake display and some samples of cupcakes and things like that for those people that are still looking for somebody to do their cake. And I have we keep it limited. We're keeping it to an exclusive group of about six or seven vendors. So usually includes a photographer. It'll include a DJ or a musician, sometimes an insurance agent, a hotel, Mary Kay Cosmetics, something like that. So people can have a nice variety of different vendors to speak with and start to get some ideas. Always have a florist, you know, those kind of things. So make it a nice, more one-on-one, intimate little happy hour so that people can get some good ideas, have some conversations, make some contacts, and hopefully book their wedding at Stone Ridge.
So let me ask you this. You said it's going to be the third Tuesday of each month, right?
Yes.
And tomorrow is the third Tuesday.
It's amazing.
Who could have guessed that? Just
and the third Tuesday of next month is also the 20th.
That's right. So. That's right. That's why February and March always mess up my calendar. It's always the same date, same number of the month. So, in the days following Christmas and the days of and following Valentine's Day, did you get a sudden rush of people going, "We're getting married"?
Oh my God, we're getting married. Yes, I do. It's
really?
It's the busiest time. You know, it's funny because I work at a, you know, Stone Ridge Golf Club.
Sure.
So this time of year is a little slower on the golf course.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this week anyway.
Yeah, with the weather.
We've had a phenomenal winter, you know, but a couple of bad streaks here and there for the golf course, but it's really the busiest time of the year for me in my office because it is where I get the most calls for not only wedding business, a majority of it's wedding business because everybody gets engaged and then they need to plan their date and get their venue, which is one of the first things that people are going to do.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm always the busiest at this time of year, getting all the bookings in for this year. And then, you know, some for 2019 at this point as well. People like to book out on certain dates because, like this year, St. Patrick's Day is on a Saturday. So that booked a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Because there's only one.
Yeah.
You know.
Indeed. Now, you've been doing this for a long time. So let me ask you this. In your experience, roughly, give me the time frame between from the minute, you know, he pops the question to the day of the wedding. Roughly, what kind of time frame do you normally experience?
Well, normally, it's anywhere between 6 months and a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's 2 months. I had one last year that was 2 weeks.
2 weeks, wow.
You know, people get deployed to...
Well, we had one here in the building that took less than that.
Right, but you know, with people in the military sometimes, I'm getting deployed and I want to marry this woman before I leave. And so things come up quickly sometimes for some people. Other times it's like it's a special day and they want to make sure they've booked it well in advance. But usually between 6 months and a year is about what I see average.
I remember going to a comedy club years ago, and a comic said, when it comes to planning for a wedding, the woman, and I'm making a very brief list here, the woman arranges the bridesmaids, arranges the party venue, arranges the flowers, arranges the dresses, meets with the wedding planners, 15, 20 more things. The groom shows up.
Shows up, and hopefully he's wearing socks.
And hopefully he's wearing socks,
yes.
And he took a bath that day. Have the grooms gotten more involved in recent years in planning their own weddings?
I have seen a little bit of a change in that. Actually, last year, two or three of my weddings, well, maybe more than that, the groom did all the planning with me on my side anyway. Now, whether or not he got the bridesmaids' dresses, I doubt that. But as far as the planning with me and with the menu and with all of the details of the venue and setting up and all of that, I worked with several of my grooms last year. But it all just depends, you know. But I think more and more, and also we've also seen a shift that a lot of couples now pay for their own. So the onus is on them to do everything. So when it's just the two people doing it, they're going to split those duties a little bit more fairly than maybe in past years where it was
the father of the bride.
It was
right?
It was mom and daughter doing it because it's mom's paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't see, you know, we still certainly have those weddings, but a lot more often you see people kind of doing it themselves, or both families are pitching
sure.
in.
Have you done any same sex weddings in the last few
Absolutely.
Years?
Absolutely. Oh
really?
Yeah. Very popular.
Is there anything different about the planning for the wedding when it's a same sex wedding?
Well. They have a lot more disposable income, I'll tell you that, because it's usually two people both working and
mm-hmm.
A lot of times no kids. Sometimes they do,
yeah.
Or not yet, anyway. But, you know, I think it's kind of the same thing. There's always, you know, one person that is more driven to do a planning process and one person is more driven to show up, like
sure.
you said. And so sometimes, you know, it tends to work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy doing all kinds of weddings.
Sure.
I have a lot of older second, third, fourth weddings where we have an older couple, and those are the easiest to do because they've
sure.
been there, they've done that.
Yeah.
They're older, they're mature. They're not
bouncing off the walls.
No,
yeah.
they're not all frantic because they've never done this before.
Sure.
You know, the younger weddings are great too because then you just see, you know, not that other couples aren't in love, but I have my St. Patrick's Day wedding. They're a younger couple. They're so in love.
Nice.
And it just, I mean, they beam with love and laughter every time I meet with them, and I'm going to be sad when St. Patrick's Day goes away because they'll be done. But you know, each one has its unique flavor to it, which
mm-hmm.
is nice.
And you're getting into a real busy season now coming up at Stone Ridge. Tell us some of the events coming up.
Well, not only with the happy hour every month, but we have monthly events at Stone Ridge all the time. But some of the special ones that are coming up here in the near future, we're going to have a great Easter brunch on April 1st. And it's not an April Fool's joke. We will have food.
Yeah.
We promise.
Yeah.
But we're doing April 1st brunch on Easter, and then Mother's Day. We turn right around 6 weeks later, and Mother's Day is May 13th. So
is Easter on April 1st?
Easter is on April 1st.
Oh, I hadn't even looked at that. Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, like Ooh. I said, it's not April Fool.
Because I was wondering why you said that. It never occurred to me. I'll be done.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we turn right around. We do Mother's Day brunch, and then we jump right into our summer concert series. So our first concert will be May 27th. That's the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the lineup yet to be able to disclose that, but we will be doing them May, June, July, August. And the June, July, August dates are all going to be on Saturdays this year instead of Sundays. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully we'll have a little more participation. People can get out on a Saturday night, sometimes easier than on a Sunday,
sure.
and come and join us out on the beautiful lawn, which actually for February is still very beautiful.
Mother Nature's been very kind to us
yes.
the past few months, hasn't she?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the golf course is looking better than it ever has this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And with this little bit of moisture, every little bit helps that we don't have to keep watering. The natural water does wonders for that course.
Now, you guys also have the Stone Ridge Community Partnership. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, we have Stone Ridge has a foundation, and then we have partnered with a couple of local organizations, the first one being the Prescott Valley Police Foundation. And last year we did their inaugural golf tournament in April.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be doing that again this year for their second annual. So we do that in partnership with the Prescott Valley Police Foundation so they can raise funds to get items, you know, such as bulletproof vests and things for the canines and things that the department and that the department can't supply for every officer. We can turn around and, you know, help them make some money so that they can provide some goods and services for the police department that normally wouldn't get purchased. So,
and a lot of citizens think that stuff's provided by taxpayers, and
right.
it's not, is it?
It's not, and a lot of times the officers have to pay for their own.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah,
know,
true.
Everybody thinks everybody gets all their supplies. Well, it's not true.
Yeah.
So we help them with that. It's on April the 22nd, which is a Sunday. So you can go to the Prescott Valley Police Foundation website, and you can get more information and register for that one. But we open up the golf course to them, and then they also do a ball drop, which is kind of fun. They bring up a big ladder truck and drop up to 500 balls off the ladder truck. First one in the hole wins. It's like a 50-50, wins half the prize money, and then whoever's closest to the hole, if that's not the case, then we'll win as well. But it's kind of a fun event, second year, so I'm sure we had about 75 golfers last year for it, so we're hoping to increase that for them this year.
And a week before the summer concert series starts, you've got the Firefighter Angel Foundation.
Yes, that is our other chosen, I think, you know, helping first responders is everybody's duty, but we've really taken it seriously at Stone Ridge, and the Firefighter Angel Foundation does a lot of great things for kids in this community, not just in Prescott Valley, but in the whole Quad City area. So they help kids. They started with a Christmas program where they were collecting toys and collecting clothes and things like that for kids, and then they would take them right at the week of Christmas in the big old fire truck and come down the road and come down the road to somebody's house, and it's like the ice cream truck coming and everybody comes out of their houses and everybody, you know, gets to see that a family has a great Christmas. And so they pick, I think the way it works is they pick different children out of different schools all throughout the area, and that's how they do that. But they're doing a car show with us on May 19th on Saturday. Again, second year for that. And so from 1 to 6 on May 19th, you can see all kinds. We had about 60 cars, I believe, last year in the car show, and they've already been getting calls that a guy who was in the Mustang Club that came last year is going to bring everybody this year and have 7 or 8. So I'm sure it's going to increase dramatically. They have a kid zone. They're actually going to do a cool, like, an obstacle course for kids. They're going to dress them up in little mini firefighter outfits and make them, like, you know, shoot water at things and go under the bridge and do all kinds of fun stuff and have like a little mini obstacle course for the kids and face painting and bouncy houses and all that fun stuff as well. But in conjunction also with the car show is the main focus. And they're actually going to bring out for probably one of the first times the new pipe and drum corps that the fire department has. So they had pipes, now they've added drums.
Nice.
And so we're going to have some bagpipes and drummers out there. It's going to be a fun day.
You know, we saw in the news recently the effect of the new tax bill. A lot of large companies are getting big tax breaks. A lot of them are sharing them with their employees, which is great news. If someone wants to celebrate their success with their employees and treat them to something special, how do they contact you and how much advance notice do they need?
Well, if they want to do some kind of a reception or event or dinner or party, they can contact me, obviously, at the best number to contact me is at the golf course, which is 772-6500. And I can check availability, get you menus. We provide all the food and beverage. We provide all the tables, chairs, setup. We make it super easy on everybody to do an event there. And I try to make it as easy on people as absolutely possible in their planning process. But yeah, absolutely. You know, holiday parties are always busy in December. But if you want to do a barbecue or a company cookout in June or July or August on our lawn, it'd be a perfect thing to do to be able to celebrate with your employees and spend a little of that tax relief money.
Sure.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And also from the company's point of view, not only are you rewarding your best employees, but you're also creating one heck of a networking opportunity, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's good for business all across the area. So one last question. What's your favorite part of the job over there?
That every day is different.
That's for sure.
You know, every event, every day, all the people you meet are all different. And they all, like I said, every event, every wedding, every social event has its own unique flavor. And that's what makes it nice.
I have to ask you, were you guys open for dinner on Valentine's Day?
We were. We had about, I think they ended up with over 60 reservations, which in our small restaurant is a lot.
You know, it's funny because USA Today did a big story on Valentine's Day. It's not real popular among some restaurant owners for these reasons. And a lot of diners don't even think about this. One, you know, in most restaurants, you have two tops and four tops, of course. Valentine's Day is almost all tops. And all of your size four top tables are going to be occupied by a couple. That's going to cut into your revenue. And then, of course, couples on Valentine's Day sometimes tend to linger a little bit. That can make it tougher to turn tables over. And a lot of people say because customers expect a very special menu that night, you know, lobster cocktails, filet mignons, stuff like that. Sometimes the vendors may jack up prices knowing it's like roses on Valentine's Day.
Oh, absolutely.
Day. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what they do. They have to do it.
Right.
They have one chance to make that score and they do it. So yeah, I'm kind of curious how many restaurant owners love Valentine's Day versus going, well, we're glad it's here. We're going to be busy, but it's not, you know, all lollipops and roses.
Right. Well, the good thing for us, Valentine's Day fell on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and our restaurant is only open for dinner normally on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So it added an extra day for
sure,
us.
That's good for that, yeah.
And we did a four-course wine-paired dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a special prefix menu, so it wasn't order off the menu. So, you know, chef knew exactly what, you know, they knew exactly what they were getting into
yeah.
with everybody who sat down, and we take, you know, it was reservations only.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that respect, it helped us tremendously. And also living in, having people that live in the Stone Ridge community, we do get four tops and six tops. And,
yeah.
you know, larger parties because it's three or four couples that all live in
yeah.
the same neighborhood and they all want to come have dinner together. So
nice.
So we're able to fill up the twos and the sixes all at the same time. It worked out really well for us, actually, this year.
That's Janice Russell from Stone Ridge. Once again, how can people contact you about events?
They can contact us at 772-6500, or you can also go to PrescottClubAZ.com. Sign up for our newsletter. That'll give you an overview. We send it out once a month of all the events that are going on. And all of our events are open to the public. So it's not just you live in Stone Ridge and you're the only one who can participate.
Very good. That's Janice Russell from Stone Ridge. Stay tuned. We've got people coming in from the Secret Garden in just a minute on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at kqna.com.
The Celebrate Life Health Expo 2018, sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, is on its way to Prescott Valley. Join us Saturday, March 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at our new venue, the Prescott Valley Events Center, 3201 North Main Street. Rain or shine, the Indoor Event Center will be your one-stop location to learn all about health and wellness in the Quad Cities. You'll find a wide variety of information, activities, health screenings, and demonstrations for everyone, young families and older adults as well. And while you're there, you can meet the Northern Arizona Suns basketball players. Our own NBA G League team will be on hand for autographs, photos, and even a practice scrimmage. Grab a game schedule and a few Suns giveaways too. Bring the whole family to the Celebrate Life Health Expo 2018 at the Prescott Valley Events Center, Saturday, March 3rd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Hi, Leah here from City of Prescott Water Resource Management. Join us for a new educational series called Water Smart Drop by Drop. This educational series will take place on the third Wednesday of the month at noon at the Prescott Public Library. The next installment will take place Wednesday, February 21st at noon, and we'll talk about Prescott's urban water cycle. Together, we'll become a water smart community. Again, that's February 21st at noon at the Prescott Public Library. See you there. For more information, log on to PrescottWater.com.
At Capital Canyon Club, winter is heating up. Join as a golf member and pay no dues until April of 2018. Several of their golf memberships include unlimited golf, cart, and use of practice range. And, of course, access to the fitness center, restaurant, and social events. And they're located just minutes away from downtown Prescott in the beautiful Ponderosa Pines. For more information, contact membership director Roussan Schultz at 350-3155 or online at CapitalCanyonClub.com.
Hello, this is Teresa Brusso, principal at Granite Mountain School. Did you know in Arizona you can choose to keep your tax dollars local? You have the opportunity to invest in our children. Give up to $200 as an individual and up to $400 as a couple. When you give that investment to Prescott Unified School District, you'll receive that money back. This is an easy way to help our schools enrich our programs and help children in our community by keeping tax money local. Please go online to PrescottSchools.com and donate today. With your support, we continue to serve every child every day.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Fong.
And it's time to talk theater. We have Sean Lujan and the Serenity Femister. Did I get those names right?
Shauna.
Shauna Lujan, right?
Yes.
And Serenity Femister, correct?
Yes.
We got it right the second try. Hey, you're here on behalf of the Secret Garden. Tell us what the Secret Garden play is all about.
The Secret Garden is a classical that was written a long time ago, and it's about Mary. Serenity plays Mary, mm-hmm. and she is a little girl who has lost her parents, and she goes to live with her uncle. And through the, I don't want to tell you too much, but through the adventures of finding the Secret Garden, the magic of the Secret Garden brings the family back to life, makes Mary happy, and it all ends well.
This is, I assume, a play about the magic of your imagination?
A little bit of imagination. There is a moment where you see the mother who had passed away. She speaks to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
There is more of the magic of family and the magic of family love and togetherness.
Speaking of family, tell us about the One Stage Family Theater. How did that all get started?
It got started because my friend Tammy and I both love the theater, and we wanted to start an organization that was open to the public. So we accept everyone. We mm-hmm. have had students with disabilities and adults with disabilities. We have had children as young as 2 and 3. We have had adults as old as in their 60s. We wanted to make sure that this was open, and we have a policy that we have stuck to for our plays of we do not turn anyone away.
And when you're talking open admittance, we're not talking at the door for admissions. We're talking about in the play, right?
Yes. Yes.
So how do you decide which plays are going to be done?
A lot of it is what we enjoy watching ourselves. Annie was our last one at the Elks right before this. The Secret Garden was a favorite book of all of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We all enjoyed reading it. The next musical we're doing is Aladdin.
Oh, wow.
We tend to do musicals a lot because they're fun.
Sure.
And you can just walk away feeling just refreshed and singing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves a good musical.
Sure. It's always great. Serenity, now, what school are you going to?
I go to Franklin Phonetic Primary School.
In what grade?
I'm in 6th grade.
And this is how many plays have you been in already?
I've been in 5. This is my 6th.
But you started just recently, didn't you?
In 3rd grade.
Tell us about your first time on stage. Remember the play and how excited or scared you were?
My first play was Yes, Virginia, There's a Santa Claus, and I was nervous, but I got all my lines down pretty quick. This mm-hmm. one was kind of hard to learn all my lines that fast, but I was scared for my first time on stage. It was weird.
That's understandable. Now, yeah. This is something I talk about with directors all the time who cast children in plays. Tell me how it felt the first time you saw the audience or heard the audience respond to your character, meaning either they laughed at something funny you said or they applauded when you sang. How does that feel?
It feels so nice
mm-hmm.
just having people know who you are.
Yeah.
Like, some of my friends, they thought I was just in my little show most of the time, but then when I finally got on stage and started singing, they're like, oh, nope, never mind.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Sean, I interviewed Rob White a couple of years ago, who was directing the best Christmas pageant ever, which had a children's cast of, I believe, 11,000 people, or so it seemed. And the great thing about it, and I've mentioned this on the air a lot of times, because you work with children on stage. Tell us about the self-discipline that children learn from being part of a stage ensemble.
That is a great part of it. Children learn that there is a time and a place for that energy that they have, that they can focus backstage and be quiet. And we've had even our little 3-year-olds, they learn very quickly. When we're backstage, we're quiet. It's mm-hmm. kind of lights off, as our drama teacher at school says. And then when we go on stage, that's where our energy comes through. And you'd be surprised at what these children can learn. And it helps them to gain confidence in themselves and the ability to focus.
I would imagine, too, it teaches them to channel it in the right direction, because you got to be quiet backstage, and when you're on the stage, you have to restrain your energy to the character and not suddenly just, you know, put on a display, right?
Absolutely. That comes through all of the time. They know that when it's time to sing and dance, we're going to sing and dance.
Sure.
And they know that if they're a side character, so say there's action coming up in front of them,
mm-hmm.
and they're still on stage, they can stand quietly, and I'm always impressed by how much they grow and learn from the first moment where you're running through through the first time and everyone's just kind of running around and who am I, where am I, to the show, and they are fully in character and they are in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I was asked to do a talent show, and I was asked to basically be a stand-up comic between the acts, which I've never done before, and it showed. And I learned that when the audience laughs at your joke, it's a tremendous feeling of power. And when you hear crickets when you tell your joke, it's like you can hear time tick, 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 and flop sweat is projectional, believe me. People do get wet in the first couple of rows when you're flopping like that. Serenity, tell me this. What got you into, why did you go out for your very first play? What interested you?
I just thought it'd be fun to try something new because I've always been into, like, music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I listened to music when I was in, like, kindergarten, and I always enjoyed it a lot, so I always thought it would be fun to act and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you sing in the play. Do you sing in this play?
Yes, a lot.
Well, who are your favorite singers?
Probably my friend Alexis and Lexi.
Is that Lexi Niekamp?
Yes.
The dance school lady?
Yes.
I know her. Is she teaching the dancing for this?
She does the dancing, yes.
She does dancing. Cool. How neat is that? So when you watch, let me ask you this. Now, you're how old again?
I'm 11.
You're 11. When you watch a movie or you watch a TV show or you watch a stage show, do you sit there kind of like, okay, they should be doing this, or can you still just enjoy it as a fan?
I still enjoy it as a fan.
But you know a little more about the inside part of it now, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Shauna? When you watch a movie or a play or you see a TV show, do you find yourself quietly critiquing the performances and the technical aspects of it?
You know, I have to say, I love movies. I grew up watching MGM musicals.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I love a good musical. The mm-hmm. The latest musicals that they've been coming out with are phenomenal.
Yeah.
So when I watch a show, I'm in it, and I'm in it. So
you can lose yourself in the story right
absolutely.
Away, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Were you ever a fan of Mary Poppins, the old Julie Andrews classic?
Oh, absolutely.
Who didn't? You know what's
absolutely.
Funny? I interviewed Helen Stevenson, the director of the Prescott Film Festival. That's her favorite movie of all time. And when I was very young, my father dragged me kicking and screaming to see Mary Poppins. I'm going, that's a girl's movie. I don't want to see a girl's movie. And the minute the movie was over, can we stay and see it again? And I've had a crush on Julie Andrews ever since then. And the great news about that is they're coming out with an update of Mary Poppins
yep.
next year or later this year with Emily Blunt. So that'll be a lot of fun to see how it changes like that. So I have to ask you, now, what is your role within the One Stage Family Theater?
I am co-owner and one of the directors. Tammy and I co-direct together.
Okay.
And I also do the musical direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the musical director. Tammy is everything else. She's our publicist. She makes sure everything is on time. Alexis is our choreographer, mm-hmm. of course. And then we have the family, Oliver family, that does our sets and costumes.
Sure, sure. Walk me through the casting process. When you put out a casting notice, obviously, not everybody, I would think, can take part in the show, right?
Well, it's a little difficult, but we have actually managed for all of our plays to find lines, parts, songs
really?
For every single person that has auditioned for
How
us.
How cool is that? Give me an example of someone who was on stage for the very first time and maybe how nervous they were, how thrilled they were, whatever.
One example would be... Well, I'll use one close to my heart, and that's my stepdaughter. She is on the autism spectrum, and
okay.
she's very shy, very quiet.
Yeah.
But when she is on stage, she blossoms. She actually becomes loud, and she becomes another person.
Mm-hmm.
And so for people like that who might not be able to learn a lot of lines or who might want shorter lines, we break parts up. So, for example, if there's a part of a nurse, we might have a nurse and an assistant nurse. And we make sure that everybody has at least a few moments. If there is a little 3-year-old that we mm-hmm. know can't memorize a lot, our cutest little one, Miss Bliss, she's adorable. And she she echoes. So basically, if the main characters or the character that's speaking says, you know, Mr. Archibald Craven, sir, she'll say, Mr. Craven. So she knows her lines and she knows when to say them. And just watching the joy on her face and the joy on her parents' face, and the audience loves it.
Yeah.
You can't not smile at a little 3-year-old.
Of course, of course. And Serenity, tell me how difficult it is for you to learn all these lines.
So I thought it would be easy at first, but it is definitely not easy memorizing 190 lines.
190 lines. My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So my mom helps me practice outside of rehearsals and stuff. So every night we would go through, like, Act 1, and then another night we would go through Act 1 and 2 or Act 2.
Do you find yourself becoming that character, making it easier to remember the lines because you feel like the character does?
Sometimes, yes, but some other times, no. There's, like, a couple lines that I'm still, like, trying to remember, but I can get them down in time, I think.
And once you're on stage, the adrenaline flows and it all comes out, doesn't it?
Yep.
How cool is that? Well, Shauna, tell us when the show is staging.
The show is this weekend. We are February 23rd at 7 p.m. and February 24th at 4 and 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And how many shows have you done at Franklin Phonetic School?
That's a really good question. I think this is, with one stage, I think this is our fourth.
Mm-hmm. Do they have an auditorium there?
They have a beautiful auditorium. Mm-hmm. They have an auditorium that's complete with a theater with the curtain and everything and a sound booth. It's a really, really nice location.
And tell us the location, where it's at.
Franklin Phonetic School. This is in Prescott Valley. It's right off of Highway 69 in between Big Five and Circle K.
Oh, the red front building, right?
Red front building.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
There we go. Very, very good. What's your next show coming up, by the way?
We are going to be doing Disney's Aladdin Jr.
Ooh, wow.
Really excited for this one.
How much lead time do you need before you start planning for a new show?
Well, Tammy's good at that. She'll start talking about our next show during our last previous shows. Mm-hmm. We always want to make sure that we're kind of thinking of what's ahead. And so we'll actually start talking about our next show like 2 shows ahead just to make sure we get audition dates down and to get our venue and everything else.
Mm-hmm. One last question for you as a director. Once you're directing a show and opening night has occurred, are you backstage or are you in the audience?
This one, I like to perform as well. So this one, I became an extra. So I get to sing some of the songs.
See, that reason she can stay backstage and watch all you guys, right?
Yes. So we kind of take turns. There are times when you can sit back and watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
But you know that there's so many little things backstage that you might be needed back there as well.
And these are not Hollywood professionals. They're going to need the guidance and the counseling once in a while. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
That's great. That's a great story. Once again, how can people learn more about the Secret Garden and about the One Stage Family Theater?
The best way to find out more about us is we have our own Facebook page, and that's One Stage Family Theater. If they would like to get tickets, they can call 928-499-8664.
Mm-hmm. And you're also doing a fundraiser for the Central Arizona Animal Search and Rescue?
Yes.
How can people learn about that?
They have a Facebook page as well. It's a nonprofit group that searches and rescues for lost animals, and they also have funding for injured animals. And $1 of each ticket that we are selling goes to this organization. Mm-hmm. Animals are very near and dear to our heart, obviously. And this is a fantastic group. They take their time and they go out and they look for all those animals that people are missing.
Well, we're so glad to have Shauna Lujan and Serenity Femister here on the show. Break a leg with the Secret Garden. Have a great time. We look forward to your next performance. Come in and tell us about it when it's about time to stage it.
We will. Thank
you. Very good. Stay tuned now because we have news with Link. And then following that, you're going to hear my interview with a real-life exorcist. She's written a book called Sister of Darkness. That's coming your way on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live around the world at KQNA.com.
Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lending is with you 100% of the way, which is why Wallach & Volk offers great rates with our 100% financing program. and you pay absolutely no money down. For more information about our extraordinary 100% financing program with zero money down, call us at 445-8730 or search us on the web at Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Diana's hired with Indeed.
It just gives me so many more qualified applicants to choose from.
Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Hey, Quad Cities, are you listening? Of course you are, and other people have been too, because everyone knows about Norm's Lock and Safe in Prescott Valley, where our Grandma Jody and our Dad Chris fix and replace locks in all shapes and sizes. No job too big, no job too small. They've been getting people back in or keeping people out since way before we were born. Tell them Trinity
and Chloe
sent you to Norm's Lock and Safe.
There's a lot of propane companies out there, but not many that have been around as long as Yavapai Bottle Gas since 1987. Same owners, same values, and same fair pricing. Yavapai Bottle Gas has lots of options, too, like their pre-buy program or budget payment plans. You can always count on Yavapai Bottle Gas for straightforward, professional propane service where you want it, when you want it. Give your friends at Yavapai Bottle Gas a call at 776-9007, and don't forget to say thanks.
Okay, Matt Keitlinger, please pick a category.
I'll take customer service for 200.
Working with one person from start to finish when buying a new Toyota four-wheel drive, domestic diesel, lifted truck, or sport utility.
What is Courtesy Auto Sales?
Correct.
Center in critical condition. It's official. The Prescott Gateway Mall is under new ownership.
On Friday, the mall became the latest acquisition of the New York-based Cohen Retail Investment Group. Cohen has 23 other malls in such states as Washington, Indiana, Florida, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Iowa. According to owner Mike Cohen, he takes older malls and works to revitalize them. Current tenants have received a letter from mall management informing them of the new ownership. In addition, a deal has been made with the city of Prescott to occupy the old Foot Locker space, making it a memorial museum for the 19 Granite Mountain Hotshots who lost their lives fighting the Arnold Hill Fire. On June 30th, 2013, Prescott Community Outreach Manager John Heine says they're looking forward to working with Cohen as he seeks to revitalize this important property. For more information on the story, log on to KQNA.com and click on the link to Prescott E-News. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look at your KQNA weather. Below freezing temperatures tonight and winter weather sticking around this week. Expect an overnight low of 21 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 33 tomorrow and a high of 37 on Wednesday. 27 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Tuesday of 42 and a high on Wednesday of 51. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Hi folks, it's Reagan with Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to all the listeners who have been using our services. We greatly appreciate your business. If you haven't called yet, check us out on Facebook or visit us at pvhac.com. We offer affordable service and install pricing 24/7. Call 458-8177 today. Get the details about our 10-year no-worry program. Remember, equipment estimates and second opinions are always free. Call today, 458-8177. Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling.
Did you hear? You can get Cable One high-speed internet at an everyday low price. 100 megs, $55 a month, and save with free installation. All you have to do is call 855-CABLE-1. Get the most out of your Wi-Fi with the best whole home streaming on all your devices. That's 100 megs, $55 a month, plus free installation. Now get high speeds like this at an incredible everyday low price. Get in now at 855-CABLE-1.
Restrictions apply. Call Cable One for details.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQ&A. Arizona Coyotes hockey is brought to you this season by Moyers Heating and Cooling, R.E.D. Plumbing, Bradshaw Family Dental, Mojave State Bank, and Yavapai Plumbing and Heating.
He'll shoot! He scores!
Here's the Coyotes host the Calgary Flames, live Thursday night at 7 on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM, in Prescott and Chino Valley at 95.5 FM, in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, and have a whole lot of fun. Country Bank's home equity conversion mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental financial option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
An equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A, and boy, do we have a book and an author for you today. Sister of Darkness, The Chronicles of a Modern Exorcist by R.H. Stavis with Saren Durant is the memoir from the world's only non-denominational exorcist. Now, for the first time, readers can witness Stavis at work as she wrests destructive entities from innocent victims and explains the extent to which our world is populated by energy-sucking demons of all kinds and levels of power. Stavis, I have to ask you, when people ask you very innocently what you do for a living, how do they respond when you answer?
You know, all different ways. Sometimes very positively, sometimes very scared. And of course, you know, you'll always get people who are like, nah. So it just depends on the person, how open-minded they are, and how they feel about it. But I'll tell you, it's a very controversial subject, right? Like, people have very strong feelings about exorcism.
I assume that most people, what they know about exorcisms comes from the William Peter Blatty book and the movie The Exorcist. What did those get wrong about what you've learned about exorcisms?
Well, you know, it's interesting because most people don't actually carry what I call movie-style entities. So, you know, there are all different kinds of entities, what people call demons, you know, from the least malevolent to the most malevolent. And what you see in a movie like that is, again, like what I call movie-style entities, very exceedingly rare, looking for world changers only. That's the kind of person that those types of entities work with, because what they're actually looking to do is make giant, significant changes, because those ones are very malevolent, very intelligent. So it's not that they get it wrong, necessarily. It's just that that's very, very uncommon. What people are carrying commonly are attachments they don't even really realize they have. That's how subtle the attachment can be.
When you were a little girl, you claimed that you saw certain things floating around your bedroom or attached to other children. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I was the kid, like most kids, who complained about the, you know, monsters under the bed, monsters in the closet, and your parents come in and they say nothing's there and you're done. For me, you know, that didn't really get rid of it. It was still there. And so, you know, gift or curse or whatever you wanted to call it at the time certainly did not feel like a gift, because it was very scary for me. And then, you know, talking about it with people, you realize, oh, you shouldn't talk about it with people, because other people aren't seeing things in the same way that you are, and this is deemed crazy. So for a long time, I didn't really want to deal with it. I wanted to forget it. I wanted to block it out. I didn't want to admit to myself that I was seeing these things, and tried to live a very normal life. And then as I got even older still, you know, it became harder to block out. You know, everything catches up with you. And at that point, it was either, you know, check yourself in, right, or figure out why you see it. There must be a reason, and try to do something good with that.
You talk about in your book how different levels of energy attract different entities. How do those work?
The basic idea about how attachment works in general is, we all emit energy, right? So every thought, every word, every action we have is an energy. It's an energy we recycle into ourselves. It's an energy we put out into the world. And all of those things that make us up, all of that energy that comprises us, what I call that is a baseline frequency. So we're out in the world and we have this particular energy signature that we carry throughout the day. It doesn't change that much unless we experience trauma. So when we experience trauma, that baseline frequency takes a big hit, and now we are in a place of low frequency, of negative vibration. How entity attaches is exactly that. So entity, we're talking about low frequency, low vibrational beings that are feeding. They're looking for a signature, an energetic signature, to match what they need, and that's how we get entity in the first place.
Speaking of entities, describe for us realm walkers and why are they very dangerous?
Okay, so a realm walker is what I call the movie-style entity, right? The worst of the worst. What's going on with a Realmwalker is they are very intelligent and extremely malevolent. Those are the kinds that you see, you know, in movies. But the difference, again, is in a movie, you know, when you see someone possessed by something of that kind, you're seeing it kind of, here's a girl in the middle of nowhere, you know, and it's just terrorizing her and her five family members. It's not really how it works, because if you think about it logically, that's a very intelligent, malevolent being. So what it's actually looking for are world changers. It's looking to tip those global scales because, you know, as cliche as it sounds, we do have that war of good and evil going on. It really does exist. And so those things are looking to tip the scales.
In your book, Sister of Darkness, clients come to you sometimes complaining of physical ailments. What can you do for them?
Yeah, so, you know, when you have entity and you may not even realize it, oftentimes it does exacerbate medical conditions, because also we're storing trauma in the body, right? So when we have that hit, when we take that hit of trauma, we're not in a society that teaches us how to then release trauma back out of the body. We're in a society of stuffing it down. So we end up doing just that. We hold that trauma in the body, and even that alone can actually affect, you know, how sick you are. And so when it comes to trauma, when it comes to entity and illness, it's best to look at someone holistically, in a sense, right? So they're going through all of these processes of pain, let's say. And if they have entity and trauma, we have to remove both. So we don't just take the entity out. We have to take the trauma signature out of the body as well, because we want to take all that low frequency out. We want to fill that body with high frequency. We want to get that person into a clean slate. So whatever they're feeling, however they are, is actually just them without any of those things weighing them down.
Speaking of weighing things down, how is it when you have to bear what you feel is other people's trauma? That's got to wear you out.
Yeah, it definitely does. I won't lie. You know, it's very draining to do this job. It's very taxing. It's really strenuous. Sometimes after a day of doing this, you know, it feels like you've run a marathon. And there are dangers involved, too, because you are dealing with, you know, a certain amount of malevolence on a daily basis. You're walking into the darkness a lot. And it does. It takes its toll. And emotionally, it takes its toll, because I feel everything that I'm working on as well. And I'm seeing things about their childhood that are dark and private and scary. And so all of that, you know, you can't express that while you're doing it, right? You have to keep yourself in a really good energetic place. But as soon as it's done, you can have your breakdown.
We often wonder what kinds of extra senses certain animals may have. You have a story in your book about a cat that had lost its hair. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so she was actually seeing entity all the time in the space, and she would be hissing at it all the time, and got very stressed out and lost a very good portion of her hair because she was seeing it with somebody. Animals are very sensitive not just to seeing entity, but they also see deceased people quite often. We have deceased people around all the time, and so, you know, when you see pets kind of looking at some, staring off into space at something, or their eyes are following something you don't see, you know, of course it can be a bug if you're not seeing that, but it also could be a deceased person or entity.
How important is it for your clients when you speak with the dead during exorcisms? How important is it to them to alleviate guilt or show forgiveness?
You know, it's very important. There are a lot of people who experience trauma, and that trauma is related to another person, right? So we have trauma that maybe we had a bad relationship with our parents and then our parents passed. Maybe we were adopted and we never met our biological families. There are a lot of reasons why a deceased person will come forward at an exorcism, but the most common reason is that they feel responsible for reducing that person's energy level to a point where they attracted entity in the first place, and they never had a chance to air that. So oftentimes they will come in, they will bring messages of healing, and they will also help work on the person and stay during the exorcism to make sure that they're well.
The name of the book is Sister of Darkness: The Chronicles of a Modern Exorcist by R.H. Stavis with Sarah Durand. If people have questions about exorcism, how can they contact you?
Sure. Well, I'm actually pretty active on social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and it's just R.H. Stavis, just my name. And, of course, I also have an email where they can email me if they want. It's entityhelp, as in H-E-L-P, at gmail.com.
Very good. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you so much.
That's R.H. Stavis, S-T-A-V-I-S. Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
For over 50 years, Prescott College has been empowering future leaders to make a difference in local and global communities.
Hi, I'm Courtney Osterfeldt, Executive Director of the Launchpad Teen Center. I earned a bachelor's and a master's degree from Prescott College. Today, I am proud to make a difference in our community by inspiring teens to achieve their dreams. My experience with Prescott College provided me with the skills and experience to develop and manage a nonprofit organization.
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott.
Hey y'all, it's Rosie, and we're celebrating 30 years here at Rosie on the House.
Your Saturday morning happy place. We want to get you out to enjoy the beautiful state of Arizona, help you make your garden grow, and your trees provide cooling shade and something to eat. We like to lend a hand to your home improvement questions with the Top Home Resources website at rosieonthehouse.com. We'd like you to start your weekend with every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130 KQNA.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
It's tax time. Stop getting your taxes done where you buy your groceries. I am David A. Snyder, CPA, and I will install confidence in the quality and security of your taxes. On April 18th, those pop-up cubicles will be gone, but I will be there. With my ex-military tax-oriented mindset and 20 years of experience, I will guide you through current and past IRS issues. Step away from the phone apps and into my office. Call me at 445-0104, extension 9, or online at davidasnydercpa.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Fung.
Well, even though the weather has taken a turn for the cold for the next few days, there is baseball coming up at Rough Rider Field coming up this weekend. Saturday at the 17th. I'm sorry, whoa, let's go back a little bit here. That's coming up... In fact, tomorrow, February 20th, at noon tomorrow, the Rough Riders will take on Cochise College at Rough Rider Park, and Wednesday, also at 12 o'clock, they will face Thompson Rivers University, that's Yavapai College Baseball, this week. And then next weekend, they will have hopefully a break in the weather, and some games Wednesday against Thomas Rivers, correction, against Eastern Arizona College, and the first Saturday in March against Arizona Western. So, when things warm up, so will the Rough Riders. Hey, the Diamondbacks, pitchers and catchers starting to report to spring training. That's a good sign that Major League Baseball is back very soon, too. And, of course, this season, KQ&A will carry the entire Diamondbacks schedule. So hopefully big things in store for the Diamondbacks this year. Hey, if you're in the Sedona area sometime this week or this coming weekend, keep in mind the great actress Jane Alexander will receive the Lifetime Achievement Award from the 2018 Sedona International Film Festival. She's a four-time Academy Award nominee. She'll be honored with the Sedona Lifetime Achievement Award for this year. She will be in Sedona next weekend to host screenings of some of her Oscar-nominated films, along with Q&A discussions, meet-and-greet opportunities, and more. Saturday the 24th at 7 p.m., she will be there at the Sedona Performing Arts Center for the screening of The Great White Hope with her and James Earl Jones. On Sunday the 25th at 4 o'clock, also at the Performing Arts Center in Sedona, it's Testament, for which she was nominated for an Oscar. And Monday, the big one, Kramer versus Kramer. Monday evening, 7:15, Sedona Performing Arts Center with Jane Alexander. Stay tuned now for Talk of the Town, Chino Valley, with our buddy Matt Santos. Join me Tuesday at 3 for Q&A with my guests Max Richman from the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He'll be calling in live from Washington, D.C., and Yavapai County Supervisor Craig Brown with county business to talk about. That's Q&A Tuesday at 3, when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.